Welcome. You are now listening to the Anything Goes podcast with your hosts, Greg and Alex.
Yo, Johnny Knoxville, what are these people listening to?
Anything Goes?
This is Mecca, and you're listening to the Anything Goes podcast. We're talking about that now.
Check. One, two, three, five, twelve, fourteen. Bringing it back to 2003. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Anything Goes podcast. I am one half of your host, Greg, a.k.a. Crazy Greg, a.k.a. Pooh Bear, and we are joined by...
We are joined by Alex, and I was like 13 in 2003.
So you were born.
I was born.
All right, well, that's at least good.
Yeah. But I was a child.
All right. Well, technically, kind of, I was too, almost.
Well, yeah.
Kind of, not really, but...
No.
Technically, I was way young. Way much younger than I am now.
Yeah.
That was more than half my life ago, right?
2003? 20 years ago.
21 years ago. Yeah. It's more than half my life.
That's crazy. I was a freshman, and depending on what part of the year it was a freshman in high school.
Yeah. But here we are. And at that time, I was top of the world at Warped Tour. Top of the crowd, at least. Crowd surfing.
That's funny.
And we are joined today by one of my most favorite people of, like, all time in that music scene.
I will say that I spoke to him for maybe 40 seconds, and he's hysterical.
He's the best.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about Scott Lightsey, the drummer from the Pennyroyals.
Yes.
And, man, bringing back memories. And if there was any reason for me to ever want to do this podcast, that's one of the reasons. Yeah. Just to, like, reconnect with.
Yeah, you said that.
Yeah.
Before we started it at all.
Friends from years ago, and just talking and reminisce, and it's so great.
Yeah.
And just reconnecting. And now, look at that, we're buddies again.
Yeah, and he doesn't live too far from us.
No, he doesn't, which is crazy. It's within an hour or so.
And same what got state. My attention was that he can make Mississippi ribs.
Yes, he sure can.
And I don't even like ribs, but I'm going to eat them.
How do I feel about ribs?
It's your tied with your favorite meal.
Yes.
That or steak.
Yes, steak and ribs. It's one... they're tied. They're tied for my favorite. Yeah. I'm always like, what would be my last meal if I had to choose
steak
one?
Steak and ribs.
No, if I had to choose one. Yeah. It'd be like a steak and rib
combo.
Burger.
Yeah.
Steak and rib burger. But we had him on, and... A lot of times when I do interviews, it'll be over the phone interviews.
Yeah.
And this was over the phone as well.
But
it was my first ever FaceTime interview.
Yeah.
Because we had to see each other. Come on.
Aw, so cute.
No, man, I've known him for years, and we go way back, and it's like...
It's different to, like, see the person you're speaking with.
Yes. You know, a lot of times we do interviews with people, and we've never met them before. We met them once just recently. But to... be able to see somebody you haven't seen in 20 years.
It's different talking to someone.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say in person, but seeing their person, seeing their face.
Yeah. And speaking of him living in Mississippi, he drove 20 hours from there to New York, New Jersey to join the band.
That's
and he
crazy.
Just dropped everything and left and went. And
amazing.
Yeah. And his first show ever with them was on Warped Tour.
Oh my goodness.
So
talk about taking a gamble and hitting the jackpot. That's crazy.
That's a crazy story, right?
Oh man, it's insane. Him so much credit. People would say he's crazy, but I think that's one of the coolest things. Like that takes such guts to be like, screw it, I'm doing it.
Yeah. Listen, man, follow your dreams and
that's
did it.
That's it.
And he follows dreams and he lived it. They made it. They did. Yeah. They had record deals, they had sponsors, the clothing deals, like they were it back in the day.
Yes.
And 2003, I was what? Depending on, in Warped Tour, I was in the summer. So I was 17 years old, 18 years old, whatever it was. 19 years, 17, 18, 19.
18
years old, yes.
I was 13. Yeah.
I was 18 years old.
Oh my gosh.
And I would go, out to these concerts and to Warped Tour and with my friends and be like, oh, we're so cool. We're going to Warped Tour, whatever. But then it's different when, because the Pennyroyals, they were a couple years older.
Right.
And being around them, it's like being around your older brother and older sister. And it's like, it's a different level of cool.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it's like, we're hanging out with these guys.
Yeah.
And they had it all. They had the look, the sound, just everything. The stage presence, the live show. They were it. Like, when you think of pop punk, that was them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And they were like intermingled with all these Newfound Glory and
My
Chemical Romance. And they were playing shows with them.
You know, like I was, like we said, a little younger, but I was still, you know, that was my generation too.
Yep.
So I definitely, the name, like when you said it, I was like, yeah, I know that name. And then,
yeah. I definitely did. And that Warped Tour show, they filmed the music video of Do It Again.
Nice.
And I'm in that video.
Of course.
So, yeah. So it's so crazy. So cool.
Yeah.
And he remembers that was his first show, and he remembers seeing me for the first time.
Oh, that's so funny.
And his dad, Stan, was there. So, what's up, Papa Stan? And he remembers I had two broken wrists.
Yes. Yeah, that's what he was telling me about.
Yep, and was still in the crowd.
Of course. And that was like your signature, huh?
Yeah, I was always hurting myself.
Always. You're still always hurting yourself. Always,
yeah. But even more then.
Oh, I know. You broke things then.
Yes.
Well, thank God you don't do that now, because your recovery would be way longer.
And I don't know if many people know this, but I broke both my wrists a few weeks before that at a Limp Bizkit concert.
I have a question.
Yes.
So yeah, you broke both wrists, and then didn't happen next night is when you got on stage at Limp Bizkit?
It was like within a week, like a week later. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
Those broken wrists that you got, so you broke them that night.
Yes.
You continued. Did you even know you broke them?
No, I didn't know they were broke.
That's great.
I mean, I felt pain, but so I didn't think they were broken.
So did you like go to the doctor the next day?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I went to like the first aid thing. I'm like, yeah, do you guys have like ice or something? And I remember they like ace bandaged both my wrists up. So I guess it would be like a hockey player or something. Like
Yeah. Or
during
get back out
intermission.
There.
Yeah. Going in, getting wrapped up. And I remember they wrapped it up like ace bandages. And then but I was just asking for like an ice pack. Or something.
Right.
And I went back out there, you know, to finish the show and enjoy it. And the next day I'm like, yeah, these really hurt. So I went to the doctor. I don't know if it was the next day. At that point it was a normal occurrence.
Okay. So now so my
follow-up question.
No, well, actually the question that I wanted to ask, but you know me, I take forever to tell any story.
Okay.
How many concerts would you say you went to with those specific two broken wrists?
Oh,
because if it's Warped Tour time, then was the summer. That
I would probably say, with local shows, obviously.
Everything.
Like 40.
Yeah, I believe.
Yeah, I would say like 40 shows.
So that was definitely like, Pooh Bear, two broken wrists. Like, mm-hmm. definitely connected.
Yeah, oh yeah. And that was like the prime of it also that year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those times, 2003, 2004.
I always say I was just too young.
Mm-hmm. And to me, that's when the music scene was the best and just, it was so great.
Yep. Nope, I caught the end of it.
Yeah. And I know. At least you got some of it. And
I
you're kind of reliving it now that these bands are making
comeback.
So,
but it's, different.
I know it
back
is.
Back then, it kind of sucked because my friends would all go when I was in high school. But I was always like, I don't know. Like, is it going to be crazy? Am I going to get hurt? And then I went to one and I'm like, okay, this isn't that bad.
Right.
Yeah.
So question for you, speaking of Limp Bizkit. How long did it take you to sew the pocket of my Limp Bizkit hoodie?
Well,
how long did it take you to do
that? Actually started sewing it?
Yeah.
Like 20 minutes.
20 minutes. All right. So it took you 7 years and 20 minutes to sew my Limp Bizkit.
No, I've sewed it before.
Pocket.
I've sewn it before.
All right.
And then you re-ripped it. So don't do that again.
Just
how
saying.
Is it? Is it good?
Now it is, because you finally sold it.
Listen, at night I'm exhausted.
And there's not
either recording
every
or
single thing that I put in my pocket falls out for now.
No. Well, stop loading up. That's why it ripped, because you load up your pockets with like honey packets from Wawa.
What are pockets for? Come on.
That's true.
Honey Wawa packets.
Because you have like, you always use like 6 honey packets in your tea.
Yeah.
So you have to take so many.
Oh, speaking of which, I'm glad you said that. That when I was recording, even now, I was really sick earlier this week.
You were.
I was really sick.
You were.
And during recording, you might hear me coughing a little bit, and I tried not to,
but then you can hear you being like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how, knock on wood. I don't know how I did not get it. Maybe it was like I had to take care of you and the girls, because the girls were, they gave it to you.
Yes, they did.
But they weren't even that bad, and you were like, You get things way worse than all of us.
And I was really bad early this week, Monday and Tuesday. Yeah. And then,
of course, you had to go back to work after a week off, too.
Goodness. Well, just when I got sick.
Better when you have to go to work than when there you're off.
You go. Right.
Who at likes
least,
work?
Yeah, at least we got to enjoy our week off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. One other thing about the WAP Tour that they played. So they did a bunch of dates on WAP Tour. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. So I was really sick Monday. I was sick Tuesday. I'm still feeling it now. But Wednesday, we took our girls and our neighbor's son to an arcade.
Yes.
Out here in New Jersey. It has go-karts and laser tag and a ball pit and a bunch of games and whatever. And as we're driving home, our neighbor's son is 8 years old and he's playing all this music and singing all these songs.
He knows like every Green Day song. He knows Nirvana. Like
Chili Peppers. And do you remember what the last song was that you played? For him, that he had you play.
I said we'll end on, was it Nirvana?
Right before that. Because like the last full Linkin song. Park. No, it was after that.
What the heck?
It was after Linkin Park. It was right after, so after we pulled out of Wendy's, you played Linkin Park. And then we were kind of passing the firehouse and there was another song you played. And you and him were like singing all the words.
Was it another Linkin Park song?
No.
Oh, 1985. 1985.
Yeah,
I love that song.
Bowling Pursuit.
Yeah.
So it's funny that Scott was saying, talking about WAP Tour, and he said throughout the tour, their merch booth was set up right next to Bowling Pursuit's merch booth. And he's still friends with them.
Shut
up. What are the odds?
I used to love them. They're like funny.
Yes.
Like
they always they did a lot of cover songs.
They did. I think that's why I love them.
Right.
I don't know. I like that stuff.
But it was funny because I haven't heard their music in
I
don't know how long.
When he said 1985, I was like, I'm like, oh my goodness. I forgot about that song.
Yeah. And literally you play the song in the car and you and him are singing it. And then an hour later, he's talking about how
weird
he's friends
also
with
is
them.
That I haven't heard that song in probably like 10 years. I knew every word. It's funny. For the most part. Mm-hmm.
And now 20 years ago would be the Story of the Year 2005 song. That would be our version of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I thought it was just crazy. I was like, wow, this is like so weird within an hour.
What are the odds of that?
Yeah. And
there's something weird there.
Yeah,
there's some kind of connection that has to be made. Like the circle has
for
to be
real.
Completed.
Yeah.
Somehow.
I don't know. Maybe the completion of the circle will be a concert of Penny Royals and Bowling for Soup and
Let's go.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Which Scott's playing now. He's playing in another band.
Nice.
And we may be going to one of their shows sometime soon.
I'm always with going to shows.
So let's make that happen. But yeah. But isn't that crazy though? They would set up.
Weird.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we have to tell our neighbor.
I know. Yeah. Yep,
like,
yep.
Of course you know them.
Well, technically, I don't know them, but it's
okay, fine. Of course you know someone who knows them.
Yeah. And then about their old tour manager. You got to listen to the interview. There's so much good stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Don't
so,
spoil
all right,
it.
All right. Let's, no, I'm not going to spoil the rest, but that's it. Let's get into the interview with Scott.
Yes.
Scott, thank you so much for doing this.
Yes.
You are the man. It was like an honor, a pleasure, and just so great to, you know, catch up with you for an hour. And here it is. I guess the whole hour isn't on this interview because we kind of spoke a bit before.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, wait, hold on. Let me hit record.
Stop talking.
Yeah, let's do this for the podcast.
Yeah.
But anyway, here it is with Scott Lightsey from the Penny Royals. Thank you so much. Can't wait to see you again in person.
Yes.
And hang. And it'll be like old times.
Mm-hmm.
With two old men.
That's right.
Yeah.
I always say everywhere I go with you, I'm always, for the most part, I'm always the youngest one.
There you go. But one day soon enough, we'll sit on our rocking chairs and we'll tell stories.
And yell at kids as they come
on your
lawn.
Yeah, the WAP Tour. Yeah.
And then your grandkids will be like, okay, Grandpa, let's bring you home.
Yeah. So just brought me back to 2004. That's all. But all right, let's get into the interview because it's a good one. And it is. It's one of my favorite ones that I've done just because
of course.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. Two old friends.
There you go. All right. Well, that's it. Anything else?
That's it.
All right. So check out the interview with Scott at Penny Royals. It was a pleasure and it's a lot of fun. It's a good listen. So hit us up. Let us know if you remember these guys, which if you were anywhere part of the music scene back in the day, you'll know them. Check out the music video Do It Again. It's on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So the Penny Royals, it's live from Warp Tour. And that's it. Hit him up. Hit me up. Let us know. So once again, I am Greg, a.k.a. Crazy Greg, a.k.a. Pooh Bear. And you are?
I am Alex.
All right. So, Alex, until next week, be good, be crazy, and we'll see you real soon.
Bye.
Hey, Alex.
Yeah?
Tell these fine-looking people where they can find us.
Well, they could find us on Instagram at AnythingGoesPodNY, on Twitter at AnythingGoesNY, and shoot us an email at agpodny@gmail.com.
That's right. And y'all can listen to all of our episodes on any streaming platform where podcasts can be found. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review. Because anything goes with Greg and Alex.
Phone home, phone home, phone home!
Welcome, welcome, welcome to a brand new episode of the Anything Goes podcast. And this is one I've been looking forward to, trying to make happen, and it finally did. This is, what, 25 years in the making right here?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and we got Scott Lightsey from back in the day, what I know them as, one of my favorite bands. The Penny Royals.
That's me, man. I play drums in the Penny Royals. I moved up here from southern Mississippi to join the band, and you were one of the first dudes I met, bro. It was sick, man.
So I kind of introduced you to that New York, New Jersey scene, huh?
Yeah, dude. So, like, oh, my God, the difference between the scenes in, like, southern Mississippi / New Orleans. Because, like, I grew up, like, 45 minutes from New Orleans.
Okay.
Kind of like how most people grew up 45 minutes up here from New York City.
Right. Yep.
That
yep.
Difference in the scene, dude, was so crazy. And now, granted, I grew up going to, like, Norma Jean shows down there.
I love them. Yep. Oh, yeah.
From, like, Marietta, Georgia.
Hardcore stuff, yeah.
Hattiesburg and New Orleans play shows. But, dude, what was crazy was when I first came up here and I first moved up here, like, I met Tucker, I met Sprat, I met those dudes, and, like, okay, you're playing a show at, you remember Club Chrome?
Oh, yeah, Birch Hill and...
Yeah, the Birch Hill Club, dude!
Oh, man, for sure, that's like...
So you're playing Club Chrome one night, then the next night, you're playing, you know, Billy Bob's Basement, playing with Newfound Glory.
Insane.
You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, the New Jersey basement shows were sick.
Yeah, yeah.
Never had that. I just remember being like, oh, I just played with From Autumn to Ashes in Bill's Basement.
Insane.
Dude, crazy. Dude, I remember calling dudes that, like, I played music with down south and being like, yo, I just played with Newfound Glory at a firehouse. Or... Dude, I just played with, you know, oh, goddamn, what's that band's name? Yeah, from, like I say, From Autumn to Ashes.
Yeah.
Fucking, like, at a fire hall.
And for us going to shows, it's like, what, $10 a ticket?
Oh, dude, it was so sick, man.
Come on.
Literally $5-$10,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
All ages, man, like, come on in.
It's so, what a difference even today, dude. Like, you know.
So... The scene to me, when I, like, first moved up here, the scene was so fucking crazy. Because that was, like, late 2002. You know what I mean?
Yep,
like,
yep.
And that was, like, at the height of it.
You punk know? Rock and, yeah, all that. It was just taking over Jersey.
Everywhere. Fucking From Autumn to Ashes were playing everywhere. Goddamn, what's it called? From Pennsylvania. Starting Lines played everywhere.
Yep.
Everybody's playing the Finch, the Used, Story of the Year. Everybody's playing everywhere up here.
And then and even like My Chemical Romance, and look at them now, just selling out arenas. And...
Oh, yeah. So we actually recorded with Otter from My Chem.
Crazy.
Yeah, dude. So, like, once Sprout and Tucker left, and we got Steve from Chasing August.
Okay.
So we got Steve from Chasing August, and we got Gary, our guitar player, we got him from, oh God, he was playing with Lacuna Coil And, God, who else was he playing with? I can't remember right now. But he was with Lacuna Coil, and then we got Steve from Chase August. And, you know, we got on that whole trip, man. And, yeah, dude, it's crazy.
Yeah, so what made you take this 20-hour drive from where you lived up to New Jersey to play with the Penny Royals?
So first off, I love this question.
All right, because I'm very interested to hear what went through your mind.
I love this question, and I love this podcast. So the reason that I made this 20-hour drive up here, me and my buddy Dark Mark McClellan, okay. Right? The darkness. Dude, I love pop punk.
Yeah.
Okay, like, I love pop punk.
Which is what you guys, like, it was you.
I wanted to play pop punk drum.
Yeah.
And now, I had been a drummer for a living. Like, I'd been a professional drummer for probably 4 years back then.
Wow.
And I was playing, you know, jazz and shit down in New Orleans. I was doing, you know, mainly jazz and second line, because that's what's up down there. But I was like, fuck, I don't play fucking punk rock, bro. I want to fucking get this shit done.
Yeah, man. Because
I had, like, fucking, I have a fuck ton of tattoos. Like, I look like a goddamn walking comic book under here. But, like, I was like, dude, I want to fucking play punk rock, man. Like, I want to get my Travis Barker on. I want to get my Lookie on.
Oh, yeah. You know,
I want to fucking play punk rock. So I was on the internet back then, and I wound up talking to Sprout. And Sprout was like, yo, our drummer is 30-something years old. And I was 21 at the time.
Okay.
He was like, yo. And me and Tucker were both the same age. Like I said, he's older than I am. So Sprout was like, yo, our drummer's like 30-some-odd years old. He's not going to stay with us. Mm. We're looking at catching a record deal, X, Y, Z. You know, I was like, dude, I'm a fucking man. So I caught an endorsement deal with Orange County Drum and Percussion.
No way.
Yeah. Oh, dude, check this shit out. This is fucking so rad. So one of the dudes that used to work in Orange County... His name is Jesse Oquist, right?
Okay.
He made me this new snare drum.
Come on, look at that.
It's half-inch thick acrylic.
See-through and...
Yeah, dude. And so I'm playing that guy with my new band with Greg Cicchelli and all the guys from... You remember the band Thrive?
Yes, I do. I do, yep. Yeah.
It's me. It's Gary from my band. Then okay. Greg Cicchelli... from Thrive, yep. And Kenny O'Donohue and Omar from Thrive. So we're just playing covers. You know, we're just playing covers, dude.
That's what you're doing now?
Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, so I got fucking Jesse Oquist to build me the snare, dude. Like, it's the closest thing to an Orange County drum and percussion snare I'm ever going to get.
That's great.
I'll match my kid. He used to work there, so he knows how to, like, carve the snare beds and shit. That's amazing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. You got to let me know when you got shows coming up.
Oh, yeah, dude. So we're going to have some shows coming up at Dingbats and Clifton.
Oh, yeah? All right. When's that?
We're working on it, but we're going to get it.
Yeah. Listen, if I have to dust off this costume and throw it on.
I'll tell you what.
If I got to do that.
You son of a bitch. I swear to God. Show up at that show on the front and fucking, like, I'm going.
Listen, man.
Full on Pooh Bear, dude. I'm gonna lose my shit.
It takes me a lot longer to recover now, but if I gotta do it, I'm gonna do it.
Dude, like I said, I never will forget the first time I met you.
Yeah. So, what was your first impression when you behind that drum set?
So me, my dad, right? You remember Stan?
Of course, yes. Great guy. So yep.
Me and Stan were sitting there at Warped Tour 03, and I just remember I was like, yo. This kid is off the hook, bro. He's got two broken wrists.
Yep.
And he's here in a Pooh Bear concert. And he's like cranking the pit up, dude.
Damn it. Yeah.
Dylan, he's got like a circle pit going out there. Damn, my dad, he was like, yo, that dude's fucking rad. I was like, I don't even know him, but he's sick.
Yeah, I got to tell you, though, I mean, obviously, I've seen so many bands back in the day, and that's what I did every weekend, twice a week, three times a week.
Sure.
And seeing you guys, though, it's like you were it. Like, you were the scene. Like, anytime that I was looking for a band, the sound, the look, just everything. Like, the Pennyroyals, that was it. It was, bro, like,
let me tell you, that was my life for 10 years, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that was my life. Like, I gave it my fucking all, man. And I have to say, so, I got, you know, we never got, like, super, like, Story of the Year huge or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can say we got a lot further than most people did.
Oh, yeah.
I am grateful to the Lord.
Yeah.
That I got to go that far, man.
For sure. There's not many people could say that.
Dude, I didn't have to have a fucking real job for 10 years. Like,
great.
And I met fucking rad people like you. You know what I mean? Dude, it was the best shit ever. Like I said, I'm so grateful to God. You know what I'm saying? That, like, I ride that I did, man.
Yep. But I got to tell you, I was about, like, at that time, what was it, 2003? I was 17 years old.
You were 17?
17.
Dude, I was like 22.
Yeah,
baby.
So that's what I'm saying. I was trying to play.
Oh, anybody I gave you beers.
And I was trying to play cool around you guys. Like, or maybe I was 18. At 2002, okay, I was 18.
Oh, no, dude. Fuck that shit. Yo, I remember, man. Like, who the fuck is that guy? Bring the fuck back
here.
Yeah,
man.
Shit, man.
Oh, craziest times of my life, I gotta say.
Dude, oh my God, craziest times of my life, dude. I would have never thought I would have done it. You know what I mean? Like, dude, it was so much fun.
Yeah, what was it like touring the Warped Tour?
Oh my God. So it was super fun. So I made really good friends.
Yeah.
With Jared from Bowling for Soup.
Okay. Okay.
Me and Jared Reddick from Bowling for Soup hung out every day because we set our merch tents up next to each other.
No way.
Stage and shit. You know what I'm saying? So I became friends with Jared Reddick and all those dudes. And
those guys are still playing shows.
Yeah, they're doing way better than I am, man.
So funny.
Hey, I'm just sitting over here just collecting a paycheck, man. You know, trying to keep people from dying.
Crazy. That's
but crazy. Yeah, no, dude, they're doing great, man. And, and dude, they were so much fun on Warped Tour. And the reason they were so much fun on Warped Tour is because, you know, we'd ride on each other's buses. You know what I mean? Like, we'd, like, hang out with each other. We'd set our merch booths up next to each other every day. And just the camaraderie on Warped Tour was so much fun.
Man,
I bet. And, dude, like I said, being from southern Mississippi, we had the Shim Sham Club in New Orleans. Which, don't get me wrong, like, dude, I saw the Suicide Machines there.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it was sick, dude. Like, it was a great club.
Yeah.
But not the same. Dude, the Northeast, when I met all of you guys, I was like, fuck, bro. There are kids up here that are, like, into the scene, bro.
That pop punk scene back then.
Dude, what was sick? You know, and this is what fucking, like, all my boys back in Mississippi were like, dude, are you fucking serious? Was like, okay, so one night you would play fucking the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City, and then the next night you would be in Billy Bob's basement fucking, you know, Central Jersey, playing with fucking, you know, From Autumn to Ashes and, you know, Newfound Glory, but in some kid's basement. And then the next night you would be at the TLA in Philly.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it was crazy. It was like, wait. Like, these basement shows are, like, legit, dude.
Which shows did you like playing better?
Oh, dude, I love basement shows.
Yeah, how can you not?
Dude, an old school Jersey basement show, man. Kids would get fucking wild. That was the best, dude. And, like, by people down in Mississippi and New Orleans didn't understand. I mean, I came up here. And I would tell them, I'd be like, dude, you don't understand about Jersey shows. They'd be like, what are you fucking talking about?
Yeah.
I'd be like, dude, Jersey basement shows are the shit.
Right.
I'm like, you got fucking crowds. Like, so after the first couple of shows I played up here, my dad was up here watching us play. And we played it, like, at the Bayonne, like, fire House or some shit.
Wow. Yeah. I remember Firehouse shows. Yep.
Yeah, dude. Firehouse. At Bayonne at the Firehouse show. And it was a fucking huge Firehouse show. We were playing there with, it was us and, fuck, what's that goddamn band's name? This is going to fucking bother the shit out of me. I can picture the dude right now. whatever. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But we were there playing with them. But I just remember being like, holy shit, dude, this fucking show is huge. Mm. Like, you would never get this at a bar in Mississippi or New Orleans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my dad was like, yo, there's like fucking kids crowd surfing over here. And I was like, yeah. So, shit is live, bro.
So that stuff didn't happen out in Mississippi?
No, dude.
Really? No. Wow.
And what's fucked up, right, is because, like, I'm from a college town. Like, there's two universities.
Wow, so you would think.
So, like, we were playing every fucking weekend and shit. And we're playing down in New Orleans every other week.
Wow.
But the scene's just not, wasn't like what it is up here, man. Hmm. Was not like what it is up here. Like, I remember coming up here and playing my first all-age Penny Royals and being like, oh, my God. Yeah, here it is. All right, this is fucking sick.
Yeah.
Because, dude, I had, like, fucking you.
Yeah.
Like, finally, I was like, dude, there's finally kids into music, man. This is so fucking cool, bro. Let's start a fucking circle pit. Yeah. Let's fucking get it done.
We were just passionate for the music.
Dude, you guys were the best. You guys literally made my life, man. I loved it, dude.
I don't know if you remember, you guys actually played a hometown show for me in Staten Island at a JCC.
Oh, yeah, JCC, man.
I played that. I was like, that was like 10 minutes from my house. I'm like, I can't believe these guys are playing 10 minutes from my house right now.
Dude.
That's insane.
Man, dude, listen. I appreciate you more than any other person out there.
I love that. That means a lot. It really does.
Dude, no, fuck that.
Really that
does. You know what means a lot is that you actually like my band.
What?
That's so much to me, dude.
Yeah, man. Loved you guys, I'm telling you. I would travel all over just to see you guys. If I remember, bro.
A show,
yeah?
Like, mm-hmm. That old fucking Pooh Bear fucking showed up. Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, man. And then I seen at CBGB's, you played there.
Yeah, I played CB's, man.
In Manhattan, yeah, man. So you guys were all over. And anytime I saw that name, Penny Royals, we're playing a show, I was there.
That was so sick. I just remember, like, every time, almost like I say, every time we would, like, set up and I would see a fucking Pooh Bear costume, it was almost like, okay, we're okay. Like, I'm at home. Like, it was like fucking, like, relief.
Yeah,
you know what I
mean? That means a lot. It really does.
Yeah. Dude, oh, man, we're good here. We got fucking allies out there. Pooh Bear's going to go start a fucking pit.
Yeah, I had you guys back. No matter what, I was making sure it was a good show for you all.
Oh, good, man.
Yeah.
I remember the first time that I fucking saw you at Warped Tour, I was like, that guy is the shit. With him.
Yeah, man.
I'm pretty with that fucking
for
dude.
For sure, and we did. We had good times.
Yeah, we partied like a motherfucker, bro.
Do you remember on Warped Tour? I don't know if it happened to really you guys much, but they had like different set times every day.
Every day, dude.
Yeah. So what? You just woke up and you just found out then?
Yeah. So you would wake up.
Wow.
Your tour manager would go to the production office, and then they would get. It was kind of like fucking playing Monopoly. They'd be like,
"No way."
11 a.m. on this stage. You know
what
I'm saying?
Get out of here. That's crazy.
Yeah, dude. So, like, dude, I remember being in fucking Atlanta, Georgia, right? So we're in Atlanta. And, do you remember the band? Oh, God, what were they fucking called? Madison?
Yes.
I remember we pulled up next to Madison.
Yeah.
And, like, our vans were pulled up next to each other. And we knew each other.
Okay.
Out and I was like, oh, hey, what's up, Dennis? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Dennis was sitting there shooting the shit, and it's like fucking 5 in the morning. Like, dude, I'm ripping butts, you know, fucking shit. And, all right, cool, man. So, what time is your tour manager going up? They're like, oh, 7. I was like, all right, cool. So, Mary, go up and say, so, Mary, our tour manager at the time, Mary.
Right.
Mary?
if I saw her. I'm sure I met her, definitely.
Married to one of the dudes from, what's the name of that fucking band?
Oh my god.
A Day to Remember.
Yes, Day to Remember. Wow, no way.
Dude's from A Day to Remember now.
Wow.
But she was our merge girl.
No way. I didn't know that.
Yeah, man. So she was actually Travis Barker's personal chef for a while.
Get out.
Yeah.
Damn, I definitely met her and I never knew any of this.
Right. Very, Mary, quite contrary.
There you go.
Yeah, we had to, dude, and me and Mary had like a great relationship. Like anytime we were out on the road, me and Mary were the ones like going out and finding food and shit like that. Because I'm a fat piece of shit. Down the road, like, all right, cool. So what are we going to cook for the rest of the dude?
Right.
Whatever. But yeah, so she's married to one of the dudes from A Day to Remember now.
Wow.
Yeah, and she was Travis Barker's personal chef.
That's amazing. Yeah, no idea.
She did well, man.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah, and listen, she is super rad. I love that broad, man.
That's great.
Live for 3 months in a van with my fucking sorry ass.
You know what I mean?
Like, she's a good person, man.
That's great. And, so, I don't know if you remember, though, I actually remember that, on MTV one time, some 41 dropped your guy's name.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I was like, man, these guys, they're just all over.
To rock our t-shirts like a motherfucker.
It's crazy.
Yeah, Derek used to rock our gear. We were this fucking close to TRL, man.
I don't know how. I mean, you were right there with all these other bands, Mike Cam and Sum 41, all of them. You were right there. Like, to me, you were one of them. You guys really were. Like, I saw you all as equal to them. I really did. And it was just something about you. And I'm like, I don't know. These guys are just, they're going to break through the scene and they're going to blow up. They're going to make it big. And
that's why I always say, I am thankful, so thankful for as far as we made.
Yeah.
But it is so much further than most people do.
To me, you guys made it. You did. When I look back at the Penny Rose, you made it.
My heart, I made it.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Oh, I truly feel that way too.
Listen, I got a record deal, okay? Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, record deal. You had clothing line deals.
We had clothing lines. Yep. We had deals. I got a drum sponsorship. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I made it.
You have music videos. You toured Warped Tour. Like, you did. You did.
Fucking Pooh Bear out here.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, by the way, like I said, I still keep up with Tucker, man. I talked to him because my birthday is February 26th, and Tucker's birthday is February 25th. He's literally one day older than me.
Does he still play?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Absolutely. He still plays.
So let me ask you this question.
Go ahead.
What do I got to do to get you and Tucker back on the stage again for one more time? Come on.
I have to do a fucking thing. I'm in.
Bro. Come on. What do I got to do?
Let's call Tucker.
Listen, I want to tell you right now, this October, I turn 40, and it's 25 years of Pooh Bear. Let's make something happen.
I talk to Sprout all the fucking time.
Yo, call Tucker right now. Would he answer?
Maybe. We'll
is this going to mess up our call right now? No, right?
I don't fucking know. Hold on. I'm going to try it, dog.
That's great. I tell you, I haven't seen him since.
Yeah. So he's asleep.
We didn't wake him up, did we?
Oh, I don't give a fuck. Fuck that motherfucker. I'm that asshole up all goddamn day, bro. All
right. Listen, we're going to do a part two and get him on, so that's all right.
Oh, dude, you know what we need to do? We need to do a part two and get him and Sprout.
Yes. For sure. You set this up with them.
This is literally like the best fucking time I've had in so much time, dude.
You get them on board. You tell me a day and I'm there.
Oh, dude. Fuck you. I'm fucking there. This is the best shit ever, dude. Yeah, like, I'm serious. Like, I love talking like old school punk rock. You know who else we need to get on here to? It's fucking Paul Suicide from Stick Figure Suicide.
Yeah. You still talk to him, too?
Yeah! Oh, so man. Suicide, bro.
Damn.
And Knuckles from Knuckle Sandwich?
Yeah, you know he owns like an arcade now or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's that dude too, man.
Yeah, you know, I used to spin you guys and them. I had a college radio show
right
at CSI, and I would spin them. What song? It was like the American song or something.
Mm-hmm.
Richie Knuckles had. Yeah, you guys, them. I would spin you guys all the time on the college radio.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I still follow him. He sells all these arcades and has his own arcade, and he's doing his thing.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, no, he's got like a pinball arcade.
Yeah.
In Flemington, New Jersey, yeah.
Oh, I'd love to get a hold of him, too.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, I love this.
Yeah, next time you talk to him, tell him I said what's up.
Oh, 100%, bro.
Definitely.
Like, this is literally like the best shit ever.
Man, what do you think about this, like when we were Young Fest out in Vegas?
I actually love it.
Me too.
I wish I had the money to go.
I wish it was out here on the East Coast.
I do too. Listen, like I said, I wish I had the money to go. And at the same time, I'm like, fuck, dude, it's like fucking 100 and fucking whatever. To go to it, I could call some of my buddies that I know from back in the day. Yeah. But, like, I don't want to seem like a fucking leech.
I know. Who wants to do that? Hey, can you get me a ticket?
Yeah, like, I've got, like, Anthony Green's phone number and shit. But, yeah. Like, I don't want to fucking be like, hey, man, so we sit there next to you guys, watch the sales and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be a fucking scumbag.
It's a weird thing. I know. It's ass far.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it's like New Jersey Union shit, you know.
Yep. But, yeah, I wish that was out here. I'm so jealous that they had that every year now. And
yo,
man.
Go. Holler at your boy. We'll fly out there. We'll do a little gambling.
Bro.
We'll do a little drinking. We'll smoke a little reefer. Holler at your boy. Let me know.
It's the weekend of my 40th birthday.
Whoa.
Yeah, man.
Are you only 40 now?
This October.
Bro, I'm fucking 43, dude.
I'm telling you, when you would, yeah. I was always younger than you guys, looking up to everything you did.
God, dude. Fuck, I'm an old son of a bitch, man.
This is great. Yeah, so
dude,
we
love this, man. This is like the best shit ever, dude.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Like, I love talking, like, old school punk rock and, like, dude, do you remember the fucking, like, the Club Chrome days?
Yeah, man. You know how many nights I spent there?
Dude, me too, man. That was the shit, dude, the best fucking show, because I played a bunch of shows at Club Chrome. The best one I ever played was us, Wakefield, and All American Rejects.
Man.
And you were fucking there.
Yeah, hell yeah. I used to live at Chrome, Birch Hill, dude, all these.
That was the fucking best show ever. I had moved up here. And I was like fucking, I don't know, like 2 months in. And it was like, all right, dude, you're playing with Wakefield and the All American Rejects. I was like, what?
Right.
Okay, cool, man.
Mm.
Like, let's do this. So I'm getting to play fucking pop punk with Wakefield, who is one of my favorite bands of all time. And the All American Rejects, but who I don't really like that much, but fuck it. They're fucking huge, like super famous and also super nice dudes, man.
For sure.
Dude, it was the fucking craziest shit ever, man. Dude, that was like the best time of my life. Dude, those were the golden years. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Like, everybody talks about the golden years, dude. Our early 20s were the golden years of pop punk, bro.
It just took over. It took over the scene.
It was so sick, man. Dude, everybody had fucking baggy dickies. Had fucking Adidas on. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, everybody's hair looked like this. You know what I mean? Like, dude, with the shit, bro.
Yeah. Look at our hair now. There ain't none.
Yeah, dude, I'm fucked, bro. But, dude, it was like the best thing ever. And let me tell you what. I made some of the best friends of my entire life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah,
Greg Ciccelli. You remember Greg Ciccelli?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Uh-huh.
Dude, I Greg Ciccelli was in my fucking wedding, man.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean? Like, that's dude, like crazy. I just met some of the best dudes ever. Like I say, like you, Greg Ciccelli. Like, I met some of the fucking most awesome people ever, man, up in this pop punk scene in North Jersey.
Do you know I still talk to all the time? You remember the band Next Stop Nowhere?
Fuck you, really?
Ben and Paul.
You still talk to Big Fat Paulie?
All the time. All the time.
Big Fat Paulie's not doing good.
Well, he's going through some stuff. He's been going through a lot of medical stuff. So
so Greg, you remember Greg was in Next Stop Nowhere.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Greg Scali, he was their singer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he told me, he was like, yo, Big Fat Paulie's fucked up, man. He's looking for a liver and shit like that. I was like, well, first off, he don't want my liver.
Yeah.
Fucked, bro. I'm just saying.
I'm texting them right now. I hope this isn't coming through on the podcast.
Oh, I hope it is. Are you fucking texting Paulie?
Both Paul and Ben. Both of them.
Oh, fuck yes, dude. I love those dudes. Fucking Ben Juman. He was like the chewiest Ben ever.
He's living out in California now.
Oh, is he out in Cali?
Yep.
No shit. Oh, fuck, dude. I loved fucking Paulie and Ben. Yeah, and then who was their drummer's name? What was his fucking name? Nowhere. God damn it. And you know what? I like the way he played, dude.
Yeah, I don't know why his name's not coming to me right now, but...
me neither, man.
That's Sophia. I talk to him all the time, like, probably like 3-4 times a week.
What was his fucking name? He was a real good drummer.
Yeah,
I always liked watching that dude play. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, yo, dude, you know, like, I like watching that dude play. Like, it's fun. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
sir.
Yeah, man.
Wait, hold on. Wait, I'm going to take a picture and send it to them.
Hell yeah.
Ben answered. He's asking what you up to these days.
Who, Ben?
Yeah, he just answered.
Oh, fuck, dude. Dude, can you pipe him into this?
Let me see.
All right, pipe Benji into this. Let me see.
Hold on.
All right, cool.
Let me see if I can add him in. It loses us when I try to add them in.
Ah, fuck. All right, whatever.
Wait, hold on. Let me see.
Dude, man, like, Next Stop Nowhere, those dudes had their shit together, man.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to set something up.
All right. Yeah, definitely, bro.
Oh, shit. Paul just said he remembers you, you're a good dude.
Oh, dude. Big Fat Paulie. That's my fucking boy, bro. He had the fucking lip ring over here.
Yeah, man.
I fucking loved Paulie, bro. Yo, so we used to practice over in Staten Island off of Arthur Kill Road.
Phoenix? Was it? No. Was it Phoenix?
Phoenix Studios.
Phoenix Studios, dude. Yep.
It was Phoenix, so we'd practice over at Phoenix, and then we'd go over to fucking Kilmeyer's.
Okay.
And we'd drink, you know what I mean? Like, dude, Kilmeyer's was like the best German pub ever. So we would fucking sit there, you know, we'd practice for fucking 4 hours, and then go over to fucking Kilmeyer's and get shit-faced drunk. Oh, dude, that's the best shit ever, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man, God.
I tell you, to go back to those days.
Dude, the early 2000s, my God. Greg, those were the golden years.
I know. I lived it right there with you guys.
Oh, you did? Listen, if anybody fucking lived it with me, it was you.
For sure.
Dude, you actually probably lived it better than I did.
In a different way.
Oh, dude, I just love it. Dude, nothing made me happier. And nothing made me, like, more psyched if we were playing a show and then I saw Pooh Bear, like, over the crowd, like, crowd surfing. I was like, fuck yeah, Greg's here. It's going to be a good show.
I love music as much as anybody else. I didn't have any music talent, so that was the way I was able to...
Bro, you probably love music more than I do, and I fucking play it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I tell you.
It just used to be the best, man. Like, it was, like, almost like a comforting, like,
for sure.
Like, you know, like, over my body. I'd be like, because, listen, I am neurotic as fuck. Every time we play a show, like, and I don't care if we were playing in front of 20 people or 20,000 people.
Yeah.
I'd be nervous as fuck. I would have fucking anxiety. I'd have odd and all that bullshit. But, dude. As soon as I fucking clicked the goddamn first song off, if I saw Pooh Bear out there fucking crowd surfing, I'd be like, all right, it's going to be a good fucking show.
That's awesome.
It's out there.
That's awesome.
Throw the pit off, dude. You know, I don't know. It was just like a, you know what I mean? Like, it was just like a good fucking feeling for me, man.
Yep.
Just knowing you were out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I fucking loved it.
Well, hopefully we can make this happen again one day.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude.
I'm there. Next show you have, you let me know I'm there.
100%, bro.
For sure.
Definitely. It'll be at Dingbats.
I love it. Okay, just let me know when.
Yes, sir. I will holler at you, as you know.
Yeah, man. Do you know a band is from Mississippi that I like? And they're not punk rock or anything, but I'm pretty sure they're from Mississippi. But
the band, swear to Christ, if you say Three Doors Down,
the band Three Doors Down, I do. I like them.
Oh, fuck off.
I like them. I do.
God damn it. You know what? Okay. Here's why I'm pissed off at those dudes.
Why?
So we used to play with them all the time when I was in high school.
No way.
And we'd be like, so are you going to play the Superman song?
Yeah.
And they kind of did my boy fucking wrong. Who
really?
Played with them. It's kind of like the New Jersey scene. Like, we knew everybody.
Of
you
course.
Know what I mean?
Of course. Especially where so you guys were, I'm sure.
Me being a drummer, I knew Brad.
Wow.
And I knew Richard Lyles. And they were both like, oh, so Richard's going to get the Three Doors Down slot. And I was like, cool, man, watch your ass, bro. And they fucked him right the fuck over. And like I said, and Richard is such a nice dude, bro.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I would have him over for fucking barbecue ribs. Like, he's such a nice dude.
Yeah. I don't know that side of things. I just know they're from Mississippi.
Yeah, dude, they are from Mississippi. From southern Mississippi, they're from right in my neck of the woods.
Wow. See, I didn't know you played with them back in the day, or, you know, played shows with them.
I played with them back when I was 16 years old.
Crazy, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Hi, Greg. I fucking love you, bro.
All right, man. Yo, we got to set this up.
You need to fucking come hang out with me.
Definitely,
like,
I'm there.
Fuck this podcast. Come hang out with me.
Yo, we live close enough. Let's make this happen.
Yeah, goddamn right. We'll barbecue, bro.
For sure. I'm with it.
I love you, buddy.
All right,
and
man.
And by the way, like I said, thank you so much for having me. Yes. It was super cool talking about, like, you know, the scene and, like, how it was different from southern Mississippi to up here, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it.
Honestly,
I love it.
Thank you. And really, you don't know the impact you made on my life. So, for real, that's the truth.
Oh, my God. You don't know the impact you made on my life. Are you
Come
kidding
on.
Me?
It's the truth.
Bro, you were fucking Pooh Bear, dude.
Well, it was bands like you that got me to do what I did.
It was you that, like, fucking made my life playing fucking shows, bro.
That's sick.
So, all right, we made each other's life.
All right. Deal. All right, listen, let's catch up and let's talk and let's get together.
All right, I love you, buddy.
All right, man. Love you, too. We'll talk soon.
Man, take care, bro.
All right. Talk to you. Bye-bye.
Yep, sir.
Bye.
You're my boy.
Thanks for listening to the Anything Goes podcast with Greg and Alex. See you real soon, suckers.